Yes, we need to make sure that the door is locked. Was anyone followed? Was anyone followed? I don't know who to trust. You weren't followed, were you? I'm worried. I was just at the tomb, and I can't believe it. Calm down. I've just been to the tomb, and it's empty. And I'm worried. I'm worried. Wait a second. Are there any Roman centurions here? If you're a Roman centurion, you need to tell me now. Otherwise, it's entrapment. No? All right. Oh, look, I've just been to the tomb, and look, I'm so scared. I can't believe it. It's empty. And I'm worried. I'm worried that the Romans are going to come for us. They're going to come, and they're going to say, hey, you took the body. Man, it's been a crazy week. But I forget myself. Some of you know me, and some of you don't. My name is Peter, and I sit in here in this locked room with you, the fellow followers of Jesus. And I want to tell you about what has happened in the past week. But actually, it's been more than just a week. It started about 3 years ago. My family are fishermen. My brother Andrew and I, we worked the family business. We were good. Best fish ever. The fish we reject makes us the best. Things are going really well. It was going so well that we joined forces with the brothers James and John, and we had this great fishing business. And one day Andrew comes running up to me, and he says he's found the promised one, the chosen one, the Messiah. I laughed at him. We've been waiting for this guy for ages, and now he rocks up and he's here. But I go out to see him, and I am captivated. He has me from the first words he spoke. This Jesus, he had me. One time, Jesus asked me to take him out in my boat. He said so he could teach from the water's edge. And that way the crowd could listen. Afterwards, he wanted to go fishing. Fishing in the middle of the day? Who does this guy think he is? You don't catch fish in the middle of the day. But whatever, man, this is Jesus and this is the Messiah. And you know what? He has this way. I gave him what he wanted. He ended up leading us to one of the most bountiful catches we had ever witnessed. After that, Jesus said, come follow me. Come follow me. Can you imagine it? Me, a fisherman, the Messiah, calling me? And he said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So I grabbed my pole and hooks, and he said, you won't need them. Oh, this Jesus, what can I tell you about him? We've had some crazy times on the water, that's for sure. Do you know how men always have fishing stories? You know, they go out on a boat and things just happen. Let me tell you some of them. These things are, look, I swear to you, they are true. Jesus, this one time, was out on the front of the boat. And I mean he was out. Like he was sleeping, like he was snoring. I know Jesus shouldn't snore, but he did. And this massive storm came up. And we were getting tossed all over the place. And you know, when you're on a boat and you're being, and you just can't stand? And Jesus is just laying there asleep. Asleep at this time? We woke him up. Jesus, don't you care we're about to die? And he commanded the winds and the waves to stop, and it was suddenly calm. We didn't know what to think. That wasn't the best one, though. The best one was this time when Jesus sent us ahead of him and said, hey, you go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee and I'll meet you there. And as we're crossing again, the winds and the waves are getting very impressive. They're sort of swamping the boat. We're struggling to get to our destination. And all of a sudden, we see Jesus standing on the water, just standing there. It was crazy. So I call out to him, hey, Jesus, can I come out there with you? He beckoned me forward. He told me to come. I didn't think twice. I jumped out of the boat. I took a couple of steps on the water, and then I began to sink. Have you ever been distracted? I mean, as long as I focused on Jesus who was ahead of me, I felt peace. But I took my eyes off him. I looked around and saw the chaoticness of everything was around me. I mean, not just the water. It was simply scary. And I started to sink. And I started to cry out. And he rescued me. And over the past 3 years, I have seen other things that I never thought was possible. But what impressed me the most was the way that Jesus spoke. And wherever Jesus was and whenever he was talking, there always seemed to be a flock of people. I mean, there were like 50 deep. It was just a crowd upon crowds. They all wanted something from this teacher. And he was always willing to listen to them and give them whatever they needed. We had lots of sick people come and visit Jesus. People that, you know, couldn't walk or see or hear. People with leprosy and skin disease. And some people that are simply just crazy. They hear voices, man. Like, who hears voices? Shh, I'm talking. They couldn't control themselves. There were people filled with evil spirits. Now, I tend to stay away from those people. You never know what you can catch these days. They make me feel uncomfortable. What about you? Truth be told is sometimes I feel guilty that I'm okay and they aren't. I wonder what they did to deserve what they've got. Or what someone in their family did that they deserve this affliction on their life. I'm sure some of them became blind or crippled because of accidents. And as much as these people repulsed me, as much as they made my skin crawl, Jesus seemed to draw near to them. He never turned them away in disgust. I was always told, like you were, that they were unclean and that we should stay away. But that never seemed to bother Jesus. In fact, he was so drawn to them that he constantly embraced them. And he would heal these people. I have witnessed it. I have seen it with my own eyes. Jesus has healed people. And these people who were sick would do anything to get to Jesus. This one time we're at a party, right? And the roof suddenly caves in. And there's four guys and a fifth guy, and they lower him down right in front of Jesus. Man, could you imagine that? The roof opening and a body being lowered? That was quite the talking point in the social scenes, let me tell you that. It created a buzz in the room. And the Pharisees standing there, you could tell that there was something going on, that they didn't like Jesus. It was like he knew what they were thinking. Jesus always had this way of knowing what we were thinking. He backed up his claims with scriptures. And he backed up healing this guy by saying, your sins are forgiven, pick up your mat and walk. I watched Jesus heal all kinds of stuff. I witnessed him bringing sight back to people, hearing and sanity to others. I watched him bring hope and peace to so many. He would tell them that they are forgiven and they would go. Oh, Jesus spoke with authority. I've never witnessed anyone who had such command of the Greek language. No one had, I've never witnessed someone who knew scripture so well. The Pharisees and teachers of the law, they didn't even get it as well as he did. And they seemed to be threatened by him. And at times, Jesus seems irritated with them too. I don't know why, but just listen. Actually, I can. I've had my moments where Jesus said something and I didn't listen well either. Do you know Jesus gave me my name? He told me that I was going to be Peter. Some of you might have seen me before and might have known me as Simon. You've probably been sitting there this whole time going, that's not Peter, that's Simon. But Jesus gave me a new name. He said, you're going to be Peter, you're going to be my rock, and on you, I'm going to build my church. And I was honored. I was prideful. I mean, me, the rock. I thought I was up to the task. I mean, sure, once in a while I stick my foot in my mouth and I say something a little bit too quickly or I act in a little bit of a rash way, but that's okay, right? I remember this one time he said, who do people say that I am? Such a Jesus question. And I was the only one to respond with the correct answer. I put my hand up and said, oh, you're the Christ! You're the Son of the living God! And he said, you're right, Peter. Yes. I knew it. We had been talking about it, but I knew it. But even when the other disciples didn't, I did. This Jesus was the one who had been waiting for. He was the Messiah. He was coming to establish his kingdom. Jesus said that a week ago. Then after that, he says to me, all right, it's time to go back to Jerusalem. I told him I wasn't sure that was a good idea. Jesus had been dropping hints that he was going to be arrested and that he was going to be put to death. I stood there boldly in front of him and said, I will not let that happen to you. And then he says to me that it wasn't my decision. And then he called me Satan. Get behind me. Me. That hurt. It hurt. I probably deserved it, but those words hurt me to my very core. Maybe I overstepped my mark. After all, he is the teacher, not me. So he says to the disciples, he says to our brothers, go and get a colt that has never been ridden. It's another thing that Jesus would say, isn't it? I mean, never been ridden? Have you ever seen a donkey? At the best of times, they don't behave. They have a mind of their own. But Jesus said, go get this donkey. And not only did he say, go get this donkey, he told them exactly where it was going to be. So we got some blankets and we put them on the donkey. And he got on it and he rode into Jerusalem. And as we were walking and Jesus was riding, word gotten out and people had started to come in to see him. They were coming out of the city, all excited. People coming out everywhere. I mean, like little tykes and those who could barely walk. All coming to get behind Jesus. And just to make sure they knew who he was, I yelled out, "Hosanna! Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And then everyone around started yelling as well, making this cacophony of noise. Their Messiah was here. Next thing I know, there's palm branches in the air. Why didn't I think of that? People were throwing their cloaks down before him. It seemed like it was all coming together. It seemed like it. But off in the distance, there was the chief priests again. They didn't like what was going on. The next day, Jesus got up and said, "Let's go to temple." "Yeah, man, I'm down." I wasn't prepared for what happened next. Sure, we had been there briefly the day before, and Jesus seemed so troubled when he left. I thought maybe he didn't spend enough time in prayer, that's why we were going back. Well, when we got there, it didn't take long to figure out his agenda. He walked in with a very stern and determined look on his face. And he walked up to one of the vendors selling animals for sacrifice. Those guys always overcharge people, you know that, right? And Jesus, he flipped over their table. Dude. And his money, this seller's money went everywhere. It went flying, but Jesus didn't stop there. He went to the next table and he did the exact same thing. And he started screaming, "Get them out! This temple is meant to be a house of prayer, but they made it into a den of thieves." Not exactly the way to get people to fall in behind you, right? Jesus wasn't very much an orthodox guy. A few of the other disciples and myself had wondered if he overstepped his boundaries. I mean, this isn't how you get people to follow you. I started to worry, was it safe to stay in the city? Jesus assured us that we should stay here and celebrate Passover together. Oh man, Passover. I wish you were in that room for that meal. We were all reclining around the table and Jesus spoke up. He took the bread and he blessed it and he broke off a piece and said, "Eat it." So we did the same. We broke off a piece and we ate it. And then he took the cup of wine and he held it up and he prayed for it and he blessed it and said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins." And then he passed it around to all of us to drink from. Jesus was so somber. And everything was serious during this. I had no way of knowing that this would be the very last meal that we would eat with him. Suddenly there's a commotion and Judas has gotten upset about something and left during that meal. He stormed out. Suddenly Jesus is talking about his death again. I've been doing this a lot lately. It's starting to unnerve me. Then Jesus turned to me, the rock, the one that he would build his church on, and he started to tell me that I would fall away from him soon. Me, Peter, the one that was going to build the kingdom. I told him, "Hey, it's me. The rest of these guys might, but I wouldn't. I'm going to stay here with you." And then he says that I'm not only going to turn from him, I'm going to disown him 3 times before a rooster crowed.
Are you crazy?
I felt like Jesus and I were so close. I told him that I would die for him before I disowned him. Next thing I know, the other disciples are chiming in that they would do the same. The meal stayed somber, and Jesus' face looked more and more troubled. So he turned to us and said, hey, he wanted to go out and pray. He wanted to spend time in prayer with the Father. This is what he did when his heart was in trouble, when he felt the weight of it. So we went for a little walk, and we came across a garden in Gethsemane. When he got there, he asked us to keep watch while he went away a little bit and prayed by himself. I've never seen Jesus so troubled. He was almost ashen. I was so embarrassed when he came back. Gave me a little poke with his foot to wake us up. Every one of us had fallen asleep. We had all just declared our dying allegiance to him, that we would not be, that we would die before giving him up. And here we are, we failed with the simple task of staying awake and watching over him. Have you ever felt that experience? Felt like my insides had been ripped out. We seem to be right in step with the Lord, and the next thing is we can't even seem to follow a simple, simple request. He wanted so badly for you to follow him, but for whatever reason, it just seems that we can't. And you know what? It's happened to me often too. Jesus again said, stay with me, stay awake, watch over me while I go and pray. And again, we fell asleep. And when Jesus came back and woke us up again, Jesus looked more horrified than before. And before I could say anything, there was a commotion over here. And suddenly Judas appeared again. But he was supported and surrounded by temple guards. I don't know if anyone else heard it, but I did. Jesus said, here comes my betrayer. We watched as it seemed like slow motion. Judas walk up to Jesus, kiss him on the cheek. And all of a sudden, the temple guards grabbed him. They seized him. No, 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 this cannot be happening. I took out my knife and I swung at the guards. I wasn't going to let them take Jesus. And I was ready to swing again when Jesus himself goes, stop! He goes to the man that I slashed with my knife, the one that I had struck, and he touched him and healed him. Time just seemed to stop. And when it resumed, we all scattered, took off, went in different directions while they took Jesus into custody. But I told him that I would be there. So I circled back and I followed, careful not to be spotted. I followed them as they took Jesus to the high priests. Somehow I was able to get close enough and not be detected. Different people were coming forward with all these false stories of Jesus. I wanted to blurt out that it was false. That this was all made up. It was lies. It was false news. But all I was scared for my own safety. It seemed like all these false allegations weren't sticking anyway. I thought he was going to get off, that he was going to be free. Sure, he may get the finger wag, but, well, that's how I felt until you two-stepped forward and said, this man here said he was able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days. They asked Jesus if this was true, and Jesus sat there, and he wouldn't answer them. The priest went to Jesus and said, tell us if you are the Son of God, the Son of the living God. Jesus calmly looked at him and said, yes, it is as you say. Next thing I know, the priests are tearing their robes in disgust and yelling and pointing fingers, blasphemer, at Jesus. And then they started to spit on him and slap him and insult him. I was trying to figure out what to do when a servant girl who had been standing next to me suddenly looks at me and goes, wait a second, I know you. You were there with him. You're with Jesus of Galilee. I don't know what you're talking about, I said. I got up to leave, and I got as far as the gate. Then another person came up to me and said, hey, this fellow was Jesus, with Jesus of Nazareth. I don't know this man. Who are you talking of? A little while later, a small group approached me and said, surely you are with him. Your accent gives you away. I swore to them, I don't know this man. It was right then that the rooster crowed. The worst sound I have ever heard. Again, Jesus was right. I disowned him. How could I? How could I do it? I mean, my Lord, the one that I spent so much time with. I had a chance to stand tall and tell all those around me that I knew him, that he is Jesus, that he is the Son of God, and that he is my Lord. But I was scared of what happened if they really knew. I was, and I still am, afraid. I'm afraid they're going to come in here right now. I'm afraid of what happens if they do. What will happen to me? But at that moment, I was so ashamed that I ran and I wept. How could I deny him? Things got worse. They brought Jesus before Pilate. He said he couldn't find anything wrong. The chief priest tried to make out that Jesus was an enemy of Rome. And then part of me felt that maybe Pilate was going to let Jesus off. Sure, it was probably going to be a flogging, but hey, those chief priests had something to say. They riled up the crowd. They wanted Jesus' blood. They called for Jesus to be crucified. And I couldn't believe it. I'm sitting there full of shame, and then I hear the voices, the ones that had been crying out, Hosanna, now yelling, crucify him. Pilate gave in. He released Barabbas to the crowd. Barabbas, the criminal, the one that they hand out flyers about. And he handed Jesus a death sentence on the Roman torture machine that was all too happy to comply. They took Jesus and they flogged him. The flesh was torn from his body. They made a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head, and they mocked him as king. It was painful to watch. I was helpless. And then this beaten, bloody Jesus was forced to drag his cross up to Golgotha. He kept stumbling under the weight of it. I've never seen Jesus look so weak and helpless. Many were yelling at him. Guards kept hitting him. Hurry up! Keep moving! Finally, they got sick of Jesus dropping this cross, so they grabbed a random person from the crowd to carry the cross, because this Jew couldn't do it. He was too exhausted. And then came the sound of the hammer and nails, the screams of agony at the crucifixion site. I can't describe it to you. Words fail me.